While they're making the changeover here, I'm just going to let you know that the chat is on fire here tonight. Harrison Spencer's uncle's leading the way. We've got who is that? SoCal Auntie is checking in on the program here tonight, making her shouts out. I mentioned Deborah too and her OHIO. Here's somebody calling out the Huskies tonight. That's Deborah. Oh. She's the Washington Huskies up there in the Great Northwest. Of course, a member of the Big Ten now. We got to mention that. And who else is checking in? DJ Mark is in our broadcast.
Yeah, Mark
now.
He was going to come, but he said he ended up having something, and he apologized for
he's
that.
He's probably checking out the weather. He does that SoFo weather thing and, on Facebook. And you can always check in with him if you're going to take a vacation or something. He'll set you straight on that. So in the meantime, we got our guest in place right here. And this guy, I had a great conversation with him the other day, and I can't wait to hear him tell his tale. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the barber, Tyrone Hopper. Glad to have you with us here,
Tyrone.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you might have to push this a little closer. It'll bend to you there. There you go.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh,
yeah,
perfect now. Yeah, absolutely. Tyrone, let's start out talking about being a barber. Where is your barbershop located? How long have you been doing, and how long have you been doing this?
My barbershop is located in Alpharetta, Georgia. Me and my wife, we opened up 2011. I've been, you talking about how long I've been doing what, barbering?
Yep, barbering. Recruiting? Yeah, I'll get into recruiting.
Okay, yeah, I started... I started cutting hair when I was 14.
Really?
Yeah. And so I've been in Georgia. I opened up a barbershop when I was 24 years old in North Carolina. And then I had it for 6 years. I moved here in 2006, worked at another shop, and then I opened up my shop in 2011. And so we've been in business since 2011 now.
Yeah. I've always wondered, because, you know, barber, you stand all day long. Do you get a little tired when you get home at night?
Nah, not really. I mean, sometimes your feet might hurt a little bit, but that's about it. But I don't really be tired.
But you talk a lot. You talk all day long too.
Yeah. We have a whole lot of good conversation in the barbershop.
That's fantastic. So obviously, I mean, Todd and Bridget talked about it a little bit, but obviously for the Spencers, you've been an important person to them. You know, obviously that's why you're here tonight. So let the listeners know, you know, how long have you known the Spencers, and again, how you guys met.
It's probably since November. So it was funny how it really happened. So Todd's friend Kamal, he reached out to me in October through text and asked me to check out Harrison's film. I didn't see the message. And so when he contacted me in November for a haircut, I looked and I said, hold up, you sent this in October? So it was almost like a month later. And he was like, yeah, you know, I was wanting you to check him out and everything. So I said, oh, I'm checking him out right now. And I checked him out, told him he's a pretty good player. And he said he was going to connect me with Todd and Bridget. And he did. And so we got to talking and, you know, just learning a little bit about Harrison. You know, when you watch film, the thing about it is you only see the highlights. You only see the person, right? So you don't know the kid. You don't know their family. You don't know anything about him. And so when I talked to him, you know, we had a great conversation. We talked for a long time and found out a lot about them and Harrison and everything like that. So I told him that I'd probably be able to help him.
Fantastic. Okay, so the question everybody's wanting to know, how does a barber get involved with helping young high school players with the recruiting process?
Well, that's a great question. So I am a barber. Me and my wife been in business. My wife Jeanette over there, she over there recording. But my wife, Jeanette, like I said, we've been in business for a while. Okay, we have four boys that played college ball. One is my nephew, but my oldest son, Tyrone, he played at North Carolina, Missouri. He's actually a coach at Arkansas right now.
Okay.
And then I got my son right there, Tyneil Hopper. He played at Boise State and Michigan State.
Oh, wow.
And my youngest son, he played at James Madison right now. And then
That's a big big-time school there,
yeah,
too.
And then my nephew, he came to live with us when he was like in 10th grade. So he played at Florida and in Missouri. He got drafted by the Packers third round last year. So those are my four boys that played.
That's awesome, man.
That is. That's a great resume there.
Yeah, so but when my oldest son, when he started getting recruited, I was able to, you know, pay attention to how everything was going and so I can help my son after that. But it was really – that was the goal, just to try to help my next son. And I learned a whole lot in the recruiting process. So I started helping a lot of other kids. So fast forward, I'd have helped over 100 and something kids, you know, in the recruiting process. And some kids even that I had assisted with in the NFL. Some of them play high-level college ball. And some of them getting ready for pro day right now.
That's fantastic. Because, you know, the one thing, I think we'd be amazed at how many amazing high school football players didn't go or didn't make it to college because they just didn't know what to do in the recruiting process, whereas some like yourself can help lead them and everything, get them in front of people, because it's not easy. It's not an easy process.
Oh, no, it's not. That's one of the things that kind of when I mean, my boys played and I was around people that played, and so I hear a lot of stuff in recruiting stuff, but when it came to most kids that had most parents that had kids that was really good, they told me I don't have a clue about anything. And then a lot of the coaches, the head coaches at football programs, they knew some stuff, but they didn't really know a whole lot. And so it's a whole lot that a lot of parents just really don't know. And when it comes to the recruiting process.
So when it comes to the players, talk about your involvement with them and what all you do and provide for them. And what players should expect to receive from a recruiter?
Okay, so what I do is when I talk to the player and the family, I ask for the film. Mm-hmm. I get the film and I look at the film and I see if I think I can help the kid, you know, in the recruiting process. And I want to be honest with him. So if I got a kid that I'm looking at and a parent tell me, hey, listen, I'll pay you whatever. I want my kid to, you know, get some exposure or whatever. Mm-hmm. If I look at the kid's film and I think that it's not really possible, you know, that I can help him, you know, I would just let them know this is not really anything I think I can do for him, you know. But I evaluate the film, and then I talk to the parents and tell them I can help them get exposure. I go through if they decide to go with me, I go through a whole plan of the year out, what we gonna do, how we gonna do it. It's a whole bunch of stuff that goes along with that. Anything from, you know, workouts, camps, all kind of stuff. So my goal is not just to try to help them, you know, get an offer, but I want them to become the best athlete they can possibly be for the upcoming season.
Fantastic.
So I'm looking at, you know, I want them to get training. I want them to, you know, if they're a skills position, I want them to run track, you know, to get faster if they're not already fast. I want them to, you know, do a lot of different things to help them, you know, become a better player for the next season for their team. So that's going to actually help them in recruiting too. And so that's one of the things. I want to be a mentor to them. I don't just talk to the kids. Like even right now, Harrison signed, he going to school. But guess what? When Harrison get to college his first year, he going to text me and say, hey, look, what should I do? You know, when this happened, like the playbook, you know, workouts, all kind of stuff. So I got relationship with the kids all the way until they finish playing football. And so, but the whole plan is just pretty much laid out to the parents of, you know, all the things that I do when it comes to the recruitment process. And it ain't just watching film and just sending film to coaches. You know, it's a whole lot of strategy through Twitter. It's just a number of things that we do. And every kid is different, right? So, you know, one thing I might do with one kid, you know, let's say a kid is really athletic. If he's really athletic and he's a basketball player, but he's a tall receiver, so if he's tall, you know, on film, he might don't look like he run that fast. But on the basketball court, you know, you're able to see him, you know, change direction, dunk, do all kind of stuff. So sometimes we're going to post your basketball highlights too so that the coach can see your athletic ability. Because, like I said, when the coach looks at the film, that's the only thing they got is the film. Right. They don't know anything else.
I want to go back real quick to something you said about telling the kids the truth. You know, you've seen your film. It looks like you can take it further. Maybe not. How difficult is that for you to have to relay that to these kids and their families?
It's not difficult at all to me, because what I do is I won't tell the kid personally. I'll tell the parents I don't think I can help them. You know, I mean, the kid might grow another 4 inches that summer. You know what I'm saying? But it depends on how young the kid is. So if the kid is young, and he's undersized or whatever, and then I have the conversation, hey, listen, if he grows and you know, develop, then we can do this. And I kind of give them, you know, how it should look if he, you know, get bigger, taller, faster, stuff like that. But if he's about to be a senior and he a quarterback and he 5'9", I don't know what what else I can do for. I don't want to say, oh, yeah, go ahead and pay me. And I, you know, and that's why when the coach was up here talking about different type of recruiters, you got to watch out for people like that, because anybody that say, hey, listen, I give you some money, some people say, yeah, I can do it, I can help them, and really they can't, you know.
Well, it take, you know, let's face it, every parent thinks their kid's a D1 player and everything else, and you know, it does. It takes somebody being able to tell the truth and everything.
But it's funny you say that, because that's one of the things me and Greg was talking about on the phone, is when a kid – I think it's another question that y'all probably asking. But anyway, the parents, a lot of, you know, parents, they think that their kid is really, really good. And they might be, you know. But at the end of the day, sometimes is, you know, just because you got some really good stats don't mean that you could actually play college football, you know.
Yeah. So as a recruiter, what is your biggest advice for a high school player? What are keys and non-negotiables that a player needs to do in order to have a successful recruiting process?
Number one is be realistic, because the thing about it is, you know, it's kids that can play college football,
right?
But like the coach said, it's certain things that can happen, and it can be small things, and they're not getting opportunities that they should have, right? So let's give you an example. So if I got a kid that if he's a receiver or a DB, okay, and he runs like a 4.7, okay. But it's early in it's January, so he can run track, he can get his time down, and certain schools would recruit him. Now, he got great film, but he's not that fast.
Yeah.
If he was running track and get his time down, then, you know, he probably can go to a D1 school. But a lot of those kids, they might not take the advice, and they go play 7-on-7 because it's fun and all that type stuff. So when it comes to, you know, being realistic, like if somebody tell you exactly what your kid and what you need to do to try to help your kid be successful and so he can actually get a scholarship. A lot of parents, they hear you, but they don't listen to you. And they feel like, well, you know, I think this. And they never experienced the recruiting process before in their life. So it's just the thing about just being realistic and listening and then taking advice and trying to do everything you need to do for them.
So let me ask you a question. What are the biggest obstacles or mistakes that you think players make today in the process that they should do their best to avoid?
Okay, what'd you say the last part?
Do their best to avoid. They make. What are the biggest obstacles?
Things not to do is what he's saying.
Yeah, no, I just couldn't hear him. Yeah. So the things not to do is I think the main thing is when it comes to their senior year and they're trying to go get recruited, a lot of kids want to go to camps at Alabama, Georgia, and all those places, right? Mm-hmm. And it might be a kid that's an FCS kid. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times when you go to those type of camps and stuff, you know, they're not looking at you. I mean, most schools, when they invite you to a camp, you know, they're looking at you. But if you just go because they got a camp open for the player, and you go and you don't get recruited. So you go to 5 different camps at Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson, all these places, and they're not looking at you, then when, you know, you don't have any offers, anything going on, then you wondering what happened and you feel like you was a college player. And so, like I said, it's just the biggest thing is, like I was saying earlier on the other question is, you know, find out really what it takes to become a college football player and just execute. And if you do that, you'll be all right sometimes, you know, a lot of times. But a lot of times, these people just want to do what they want to do. And when they do that, it just don't work out for them.
Yeah. Wanted to ask you about your involvement. You said you stay with this kid throughout his career, stay with these players throughout their career. With the phenomenons now in NIL and the transfer portal, are you involved in either one of those phenomenon in college football?
Yeah, I have been. I had conversations with some of the players that's in college, and you know they put in work so they can get NIL money. And we had those conversations of, you kind of – coaches will let you know kind of what your worth is. And so sometimes kids, they feel like if I ain't getting enough, I'm going to go to another school. But some kids in school, if they get some NIL, you know, the coaches, they'll negotiate whatever it is. And they can – but I'd have been in those conversations with my nephew. He got NIL, and I got another nephew that had NIL. So we done had those conversations and stuff like that too.
What's your thought on the transfer portal? I mean, it's changed so much. It used to be you know, hey, you could transfer. You had to sit out of
here.
Now a coach can look at you wrong, and you can say, I want to go on the portal when I'm playing next year.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I got some different thoughts on the transfer portal. I love the transfer portal. I do think they could do it different. I think they could be a better fit with the transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff together. But one thing that people don't know, a lot of those kids that's in the portal ain't in the portal because they decided, hey, I ain't playing, I want to go somewhere else. A lot of schools are telling those kids, hey, you're not going to play here, jump in the portal, and they don't have a choice.
Right.
And so that's happening a lot. And then some people, they say, okay, well, this school going to offer me more money, they jumping in the portal. And then kids that say, well, I ain't playing like I thought I should be playing, and they jumping in the portal. So you got all these different kids jumping in the portal for whatever reason. And so I think it should be a better structure on how they do that, and so it can be better for the kid and the school.
Yeah. Tyrone, all great stuff, and thanks for being such a great guest and such a help to the Spencers.
Do you want
to
let Tyrone mention some names?
Oh, he did
some
that.
Some people that he's helped out? He got through a bunch of them?
Oh, he did a bunch of them. Yeah,
he talked about his kids.
That was
man.
My kids.
Oh, true. Yeah, talk about some others as well.
I helped, let's see, in the recruiting process, I assisted Xavier McKinney. He played for the Packers. Mm-hmm. He was the first safety taken in, I think, the 2020 draft. Malik Willis, Marcelino Ball, he played for the Jets. Malik got drafted for the Titans. He played with Green Bay.
He went to Liberty, right? Was he?
Yeah, Malik went to Liberty.
He was Liberty and came out. Yeah, and he's had some success. That's
and,
for sure.
He was part of the resurgence of that program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, they've been doing pretty good since. And, I done helped over 100-some kids.
That's
but
awesome.
It's a lot of them that's preparing for the NFL, a lot of them that's been in the NFL, but – It's quite a few.
Yeah. Man, so, if you want some questions answered, folks, and you're listening in right now, we'll tell you how to get a hold of this guy.
So that was my next question. For anybody that wants your help, how can they reach you? I mean, Greg, we'll put it on the site, get it out.
Yeah, man, I can get my cell phone number. You ready?
Tell
you ready to write it down, everybody? Hey, pull that pen and paper out real quick.
Yeah, 678-206-3169.
Now, is that the number of your cell phone that you can answer it in the office while you're doing your hairs and stuff?
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I can do it. I can do it all the
Say
same
that
time.
Number again one more time.
678-206-3169.
3169.
3169, yep.
All right, well, we'll make sure that on our recap that gets put up there. Tyrone, thank you very much. This is awesome. It's not very often you get to talk to a barber that's such a successful recruiter and everything. So really appreciate your time with us and keeping up with the Spencers.
And it's Hoppers Cuts and Styles.
Yes, Hoppers Cuts and
Styles. And what's the address? 4000?
4000 North Point Parkway.
North Point Parkway in Alpharetta. And you cut Nathan Afobe's hair, is that right?
Yeah.
You're his barber, huh? Yeah. See, Michigan guys are smart, man. They know where to go.
You're outnumbered tonight, buddy. You just
I know. That's why I got to jump in here every once in a while.
Go green.
Tyrone, thank you so much. What? Go ahead.
Go green.
Yeah, okay. That's right. We got a Spartan over here starting up the mix. And this young man who played up there in East Lansing and against my Wolverines. Listen, man, this has been a real pleasure. Thanks for joining us here tonight and giving us a real look at what goes on and how you can help kids in our area. And I hope you keep it up.
All right, man. Glad you very much.
And we'll catch up with you again. We want to have you back on, okay?
All right, that'll work. Appreciate it.
Okay, Tyrone.
Thank you, buddy.
Tyrone Hopper, everybody. Give him a big round of applause. That was terrific.
Right.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Thank you.